I believe everybody have a fair idea about, or if you want, maybe 5 minutes or brief or something.
I have a corporate presentation, I can run you through some of the slides if you see it.
Maybe 5, 10 minutes.
Yeah, sure not.
My clients are basically, you know, something they have their own VMS, family law services. Also, they are the HNI, might run EIF, basically, for the institutions.
Yes, of course. Production, you can just talk about your thing and this.
So, maybe you want to even pass it to you?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, so I'm living from value question. We have an EMS as well as family office. And yeah, we look at company from an investment point of view, from a legal point of view.
We have our own family investment office. We have our own funds.
So I represent Philip Capital. And basically, we're a sell side broker. And we serve all this institutional, both institutional clients.
Rohan from Alpha Investments, we have a family office.
My name is Raj Shah, I'm from Pioneer Wealth, we have PMS.
Akshay Kothari from Envision Capital, we have PMS. Alisha Mahabla, Envision Capital, the PMS from Pioneer. Shari Jadhav from MIB Investments, PMS.
Nikesh Shah, managing my own.
Pratik Shah from Aquitas Investments.
I am Priyanka from Family Care, Family Office.
Right. Pavan Bharadia from Equity Capital. We also serve the institute PMS.
Even I'm with Equity Capital.
Oh, I'm managing a family office based out of Dubai, moved on board. Thanks.
Exactly, family office.
Okay. Thank you. Right. So from management, I'm Ramesh and I'm joined with Sanjay Lad. What I'll do, I'm sure you would have seen this. Corporate presentation which we have hosted on the website. It's the same presentation that I just take you through some of the slides just to give an introduction of the business divisions in which we are in. So largely we are into three divisions. One is the conductors, one is the oil, and one is the cable divisions. In terms of conductors, we are one of the largest global manufacturers of conductors. And in India, we happen to be the largest manufacturers. Over the years, there's been a lot of change in the way our business, even the conductors have shifted. So if you look at a few years ago, it was largely domestic and more getting to the ACSR type of conductors. Whereas in the last 3-4 years, the shift has happened to more premium categories of conductors, which is what we call as the HTLS, high efficiency conductors, OPGW type conductors, CTC and a lot of turnkey solutions in the copper-based conductors. So this together accounts for about 50% of the value if you look at FY22 sales, and wherein maybe the margins are much higher than the margins in terms of conduction. If you look at the trend of our EBITDA per metric ton, which is the metric that we use, clearly you will see a rise in the number from here. So this is one of the divisions. It stood about 4,200 crores in FY22. In terms of value, it grew about 13.3% over a 5-year CAGR. Our plants are located at Odisha and also at Silvassa. We have the 3 plants for this division. And this is one of the oldest business that we've had. The key thing about this business is that the shift towards a premium product is always helping this division a lot. And as we see a lot of electrification and infrastructure requirement increasing, this limited space, the requirement of passing high voltage into very small kind of corridor, these kind of products actually help to transmit high volume of electricity within a small corridor, which the conventional conductors or the old conductors will need more right of way, which is becoming more and more small in urban cities.
So where the saturation has happened for the electricity carrying, where these type of product is used.
actually like Mumbai. Because it carries actually 1.5 or 2 times the power which conventional conductor can.
Again, due to relay electrification that you have seen a lot of conductors here sold in Indian Railways, and for this copper conductors also plays a big role in terms of our premium category of the products that falls within the conductor. And the turnkey solution that we talk is more about EPC work that we do for the conductor business, which wherein we kind of now work with the utility companies to design the entire transmission line. It's not only supply of the conductor, but conceptualizing the design, working with them to look for solutions for the customers, and that's laying down the entire line end to end basis. So that's where the turnkey solution along with the ACCC conductors that you see go hand in hand in our HTLS. Quickly on oils and lubricants, here we are the third largest in transformer oils on a global scale. Clocked a revenue of about 3,500 crores in FY22. And a CAGR grew about 16% over a 5-year period. We have a wide variety of oil products, changing from transformer oil, which gets used into the transformer, finally gets into the transmission of electricity. We have white oils that is used in industries, corporates, and pharma industries. Industrial and process oils are also part of various industry groups. That is so. Industrial and auto lubricants, basically this auto lubricants business started somewhere in 2000 and has been growing consistently year on year basis. And we have a small petroleum GD business and a new product, which is a natural ester premium. That's something that we've developed and it's on trials with some utility companies, more from an ESG perspective, this product has been developed. So these are the ranges of oil business that we have. Clearly, if you see from a transformer oil perspective, more infrastructure and electrification happening. This is also a product which gets sold more depending on the infrastructure levels that happens for the conductors and cables. So those products are depending on the infrastructure level, and therefore the more transformation requirement is that the more of transformer oil products. Here we have plant at New Bombay as well as in Silvassa and one in the UAE. Then we have this cable business. Here we are the largest domestic player when it comes to the renewables category. Our revenue has been close to 2000 crore in FY22, growing about 18% 5 years. It's the business we ventured into somewhere in 2008, and here also we cater to a wide variety of cables, which is power cables, house wire and cable, which is the wire that is put in the house, and that's one of the key growth drivers going forward. Elastomeric cables, we have a range of elastomeric cable products within this category, basically cables that gets into the solar, wind, specialist specialty cables that gets into mining industry, defense, EV, etc. That falls into the elastomeric cables. E-beam irradiated cables. So our products are e-beam products, which has the capacity to withstand higher capacity and shock absorbent capacity, which is really 50% more than the normal wires that you see in the market. From a house wire perspective, this is a unique and differentiated category that we have. So in terms of the product, it's more flame retardant, it's melt resistant, and has claimed to be having a 50-year life for this product. So once you kind of put in your house, it kind of stays along for about 50 years. So that's a differentiated product. We already had this product, but in one or two states in Kerala and Gujarat. This is something that we are ramping up in many other states, and we have a new brand ambassador, and this is a separate team that we have for this particular. OFC and specialty hybrid cables also are a mixture of your power cables and OFC that gets into this. So just a brief introduction about the business. I'm sure I won't be going through the slides that we have, but I just thought I'd begin with the divisions that we have. If you want me to get into any particular slides or questions, then happy to.
For conductor, your main clients are EGCIL or
EGCIL used to be earlier. Now there are a lot of the transmission DC companies.
You take a subcontract, as you said, you are on EPC in that. You take a complete turnkey contract for laying the conductors
for the three conductoring. Yeah. So that's also one part of a business. And where is the supply conductor goes?
It is only for the stringing business.
Wherever it is three conductoring of the line, there we take an EPC.
Otherwise, we are main supplier of conductors. EPC will be a small push.
Yeah. So that's something that, you know, if you look at EPC and other premium products that we're talking about, that all together accounts for about half of my total bill, which collectively we call it the premium products.
In the oils business, can you help us with the little bifurcation of how much percentage for what application?
So about one third goes into transformer oil. About total oil thing, one third is part of transformer oil. Nearly I'd say about third goes to white oil.
That is for FMCG part.
Yeah, I think energy, pharma, cosmetic, like that.
Our lubricant business would be about somewhere 15 to 20%, comprised of industrial oil.
That is a combo of industrial and automotive.
Combo of industrial, industrial and automotive.
So on the oil business, what has changed in the last couple of years? Well, the margins have really moved up from like 6% to almost about 13-14% kind of a number.
Yeah. What we see is that our both oil business as well as conductor business, we don't measure that EBITDA as a percentage. So, you know, depends on the commodity price. If our commodity price keeps on going up or coming down, you know, we have our margins will not kind of as a percentage of sales will not go up or come down. Because, you know, the margin is fixed, and therefore your percentage could give a completely different picture. We measure more in terms of per unit rather than a percentage for sales.
So it's an absolute rupee per
exact. So we can measure both ways, but the right way what we feel there can be measured for oil and conductor is a per unit is rupee. Yeah. You can actually measure on percentage, but then you also have to be cognizant about how your denominator is moving. Because the oil price can go up and then the percentage looks less. The oil prices are down. Similarly, if your conductor, if your aluminum prices are down, the EBITDA percentage will look big. So, you know, and therefore we, because what we do is that we kind of pass on the increase or decrease in the raw material cost to my customers. Therefore, we more up, if you look at all our slides largely on EBITDA, we talk about the per unit, which is more relevant.
Basically, what you're saying is that your EBITDA margin is less fixed in terms of absolute terms.
Absolutely is a better way to measure that.
Yeah. How has that been trending in the last couple of years?
So if you look at last 2 years, the oil business has been a very high. You know, last 2 years, I think it has been historical high, both in terms of volume as well as on profitability. But, you know, then if you look at the current thing, the oil prices being so high, there may be resistance from the customers to kind of accept the product, and therefore there will be pressure on the margins.
How is the mix change driving this? Is one category like better
profitability? So, your essential main product was always transformer oil. Look at decades old, it was largely transformer oil that too based in India. Over the years, you kind of diversified into many different kinds of oil. And accounting for exports has been a major market. Close to 45% of our tea oil transform oil goes for export. And overall, our oil has been, you know, export has been close to 45%. So we've kind of diversified and looked at, you know, all the potential angles there to kind of improve the penetration at the risk.
But would you say one category is more profitable meaningfully? I mean, how should we look at the mix going forward and what will?
So I think the mix, I guess, now if you look at it, is kind of established. You know, unlike the conductors, you know, this phase of oil has happened. You know, the mix is, if you look at last 2 days, I don't see that, you know, suddenly would have changed. It has changed over a period of 2 decades. But then look at now, let's just
say all three will grow similar and similar.
And
all three are similar in terms of profitability, or is one?
No, so can't measure exactly because it depends on the oil price at that point of cycle. but it's not a static margin that you can expect because of so volatility in oil price, depending on the customer requirement and the competitive pressure for dynamics.
No, I just meant white versus transformer versus, I mean, is there any meaningful difference in the...
Yeah, so I think look at the percentage of the loops would be high, but look at absolute thing, I guess the transformer oil is
better. And the third is the white way.
Yeah. Exports are 49% of the entire on console basis.
Yeah, it is on console.
Okay.
Who are the global competitors in the conductor business?
Yeah, from India also, things like Sterlite is there.
It is not a customer centric. The forex, how do you deal with that?
Forex, we have a hedging mechanism. We hedge all our forex. We have exports as well as imports. And then that commission takes care of the natural hedge. And any surplus or deficit as we come from, we kind of fish. We know the position because of whatever products are being sold.
You know the payables and the receivables, and the next positions we hedge. It's a plain vanilla one.
In the oil business, there was a margin pressure. So, how the condition now? Is it changing or is it in the same way?
No, so that margin pressure could be there when the prices are high and when the customer push, you know, customer will kind of push for lower prices because the overall oil price being high, the cost for the customer also will be high. If you look at our first quarter and also the earning per transfer that we've given, it clearly indicated that the first quarter was a very high profitable period. The reason being that we had a high selling price. And also, you know, as you buy the products, your weighted average cost in the system also kind of increases the value. So therefore, we had a very high number in the first quarter. Going forward, the cost will actually catch up. And if you see the food oil today, already at about 95 from what it was 105, 110. So that's definitely we'll see pressure on margins on this.
What kind of volume growth are we looking at in our oil business? So I'm not talking from one quarter or two quarters, but 3 to 5 years, what kind of volume growth we have?
So if you look at a longish period of time, like looking at about 5 to 6% in growth. It all depends on how the infrastructure also. As I said, one third of the business in oil, nearly it's all transformer oil. One third of the business clearly on transformer oil. This, as you see, a lot of electrification and transmission lines being set up, you will have more of these kind of, but is that over a long period of time? 5 to 6% is
that growth are slightly conservative because we have a lot of transmission lines yet to be put up. And once that happens, the growth should be higher. Or do we see that the requirement of the oil in the new lines, I mean, replacement demand would be there to a certain extent, but the new lines, the growth would not be that great.
So we have kind of approved in almost all of our customers that we have simply been doing for the last 5 decades. So here also, if you see, historically, we have actually cut down on the customers. Also wanted to deal with quality customers. Now, we don't want to have a case where we're selling products and then chasing for us. We kind of even pick and choose our customers to see that now our customer mix is good and our sales has a quality improved over a period of time. So if you look at a couple of years or I think 3-4 years ago, we have almost shed about 30% of our customers. What you see the volumes here is after, you know, having the good quality customers.
Volume is not a problem, but having a good customer
yes.
is what actually we are looking at.
Right. How easy or difficult it is to, you know, break into a new customer or whether it is transformer or white or it's
not difficult for us because we've been there in this industry for, you know, the site plan indicates, you know, people know us, our products are accepted. We have received here, we have about, you know, 400 girls.
Great.
We have bought, you know, 400 different types of, you know, grades of this product. So acceptability is not an issue for.
There would be equal amount of competition also, right? I
mean, yeah.
So for a customer to begin to, you know, whether to take a part or somebody else, what goes into, you know, that decision making? Is it like just a relationship?
One is relationship, one is quality basis. You also want the product to be quality product. There are organized and unorganized players also. We need the quality product, time tested, not performance over there. And yeah, no, that's what. So sure, you increase transformer instead of customer choosing us. We actually select our customers, ensure that, you know, we have a good quality of customers in our.
Do you have any sense of, you know, what were the like macro opportunity for each of those different segments, transformer or the white oils, in terms of what? Quantities consumed on a yearly basis, India or whichever market that you are into.
Yes, at least in India, we would be about, I can talk about market share, we would be about 40% of the transformer oil business that is there in India. That's maybe a number for you to
add. White oil, sorry?
White oil, yes, first. The market is quite huge in India. I'm not wrong, market.
Five lakh
for the in India. It's,
yeah.
Five lakh tons. 5 lakh in India. We about, I'm not about 50%.
Yeah.
There are two types of transformers, oil field and dry type. So, do you see any structural change in the industry where people are doing profit?
Dry type actually we do not supply oil. It's only your transformer oil where the oil is required. This dry type is used in the actually mall and
smaller places, not in the bigger. So how much revenue contribution you are expecting from the defense opportunity?
So we cannot give a number, you know, how
do you have any target in your mind?
Defense, and these are all, you know, big order kind of a business, which is there. So depending on the specificity and depending on the requirements, so we work with them. So from a cable business, you know, we have been clocking a good amount of revenue in the last couple of years, and that actually gets into your elastomeric cables. There's no kind of an order book that we say, because we work with them, and depending on the solution that we give them, depending on the requirements of them, we can actually.
So it's mainly a cable opportunity, or are there any other products?
Yeah, defense is largely cable.
And on the cable itself, like we have a big share into renewables, but that is predominantly on the wind side. So are we present on the solar side? What kind of cable do we provide, and where exactly are the applications for that?
So solar rooftop cable is very good. And solar also, we think that we have about 40% market share in the solar. Wind could be 60-70.
We have in both actually, solar plus wind.
So solar 40% when you say whatever the cables are required, 40% of that is our market share. Right. So last year, what we have seen is there has been a big pickup in solar installation that has happened in India. And now, next 2-3 years, there would be an even bigger push. So, what kind of growth or contribution from that do we see in the cable segment? So
we continue to, you know, press with all the customers in terms of the system. We don't have a number as such. We put a number. Because we also, get orders and then we kind of execute that. But you know, we all know that the opportunity is big there, and you know, we have a product available there for both solar and wind, and we kind of, you know, push the customers and see how best we can capitalize.
or any ballpark number, like 1 megawatt of solar, how much cables would be required? Or similarly for wind?
It's a bit technical, so.
Because what is going to happen is that the solar installation, which used to be 10, 12 gigawatts, is going to go to 20, 30 gigawatts. So then are we ready for that kind of growth? Then do we see, are we seeing that kind of?
So we, what we do is that clearly we have an R&D fedora, but people are experienced in that. And then we kind of evaluate what are the business opportunities. And here also, if you look at it, the kind of diversified products that we have, and it's all come from, you know, you're kind of looking at the customer's requirement. If you look at APA's tagline itself, so it talks about tomorrow's solution today. And that is something which is ingrained into all the employees in terms of looking at the requirements of the customers in future. And are you kind of ready to play? So, you know, definitely when we track with the customers on all this, defense, rail, navy, etc., we look at all these requirements that keeps on coming, and we actually proactively provide that opportunity. Now, so I don't have that number of calculation that you said, but definitely we are future looking and wanting to be having the product today to be able to work. So,
and today, how much would be solar and defense of a total 2000 crores cables business?
Which was double digit number? Not very sure, but should be
around the universe.
From total cable business.
So I'm saying within cable, like 2000 communities are cables business roughly. How much would be defense and renewables out of that?
So I have it. Start on renewables totally for the company has already, which is about 4 odd percentage. But one of the chart that we put in the corporate presentation talked about renewables for APAR as well is 4%. And cable would be,
so it will be all cable, right?
20, yeah. Cables are about 20% of my business. So accordingly, you will have the number.
So who are the competitors in solar cable?
Cable will have this Polycab, KEI.
This player, huh? But you have limited capacity, so that is why you were just extending yourself for supplying solar cables. That is what I understand.
Capacity is something that you can always increase. Capacity is never a constraint. See that requirement is there in future, you'll always build up the capacity. You know, even today, you know, we've already talked about in our earnings for my capex plans, but 2/3 is for the cable business. So, you know, capacity is not never a constraint to clearly see demand coming. I know that that business is, as we already spoken in our earnings call earlier, this is a business that we expect to grow, fastest to grow in future as well. And therefore, you always see capacity kind of building up. You look at last 5 years, they spent a good amount in capex. We continue.
In the conductors business, the new orders that we booked in this last quarter majorly were from exports, or which?
A mix of everything.
So how much
was
exports out of that? And Indian
Railways? Typically is about, you know, I don't have the order number, but exports in conductors is close to about 45% of my exports.
That would remain even in the new model.
There could be some, you know, changes, but largely it's around that.
What are the utilization rates in each vertical?
Capacity utilization. That you know, oil, we don't have a constraint as such, because you know, you can, it's not so capital intensive. Even today in our plants, we just run about 2 shifts over there. So that is not a constraint from oil perspective. Even from conductor perspective, talked about like 80,000 metric ton capacity. That also takes care of the conductor that we send to the cable division. So you know, and we are about 110,000 last year. So that also doesn't seem to be a concern. Of course, over a period of 2-3 years, you can see really the infrastructure spending going up and business going up. We need to build up capacity, definitely.
Cables
also, I think we are actually putting up a line to increase our manufacturing capacity for elastomeric. But you know, at least at the current price that we have, about, you know, you know, capacity should be equal to close to about 30-40% more than the revenue.
Okay. So that much headroom that we have.
From 70-80% in utilization.
Right.
And this is fungible between different,
yeah.
In all the categories, it's fungible between, say, oil, it's like white oil, tea oil, it's all, it's the same.
A certain portion actually. After that, actually, the final products have different machines.
The formulation would be different. It is the same.
Yeah, that's the process.
When I look at the cable performance in the last 5-7 years, in terms of margins, was the highest. When I look at the last 2 years' performance, the margins have dipped to almost 5% level, which used to be double digit. What is the outlook on the margin on the cables, and particularly how much housing, house wire, and cables contribute to the overall cable revenue?
So, this, you can see the dip typically happened post COVID, when there was this COVID related issue that happened. So even last year, if you see, overall, the full year has been about 5% by 22%. And if you look at the last quarter, it was 4-7%. And if you look at the quarter 1, 2, 3, 4, right? I'm not wrong, quarter 1, 6, and then it went to 3, and then it came back to 7. Average was 5. So it's getting stabilized now. 7% in Q4 FY22. And if you look at Q1 FY23, it's about 7.5%. So it's getting into that consistently about 7-7.5%. Our ambition, as you talked about earlier in the earnings call, is also to get in about 8.5-8.9%. That's our ambition there to get into. Of course, you can see how we're able to execute a lot of products with the margins that we have. And you know, earlier if you see 3-4 years ahead, we are also in the double digit. Now aspiration is to get into that level. But you know, clearly we see that somewhere about 8-9% CL could be that is.
But what led for the margins to go down double digit to low single digit?
Well,
the product mix.
So if you look at basically COVID, and you know, the kind of, you know, COVID has kind of disrupted the industry in general, and also we were also not an exception. Kind of orders coming in, the utilization level at the factory, etc., kind of, you know, change utility or overall margins.
So the 7-8.9%, which is the aspiration, will also be simply with better utilization, better operating leverage.
Yeah, so also the product category, product mix, you know, a lot of things goes into, you know, this 1,000 crore business of cable that we have. There's so many, you know, raw materials that we into this, you know, copper is there, aluminium is there, polymer coils are there. Now we are looking at an exports market aggressively for cable business. The product mix is different. If you see that, I just put in 5 categories there, but to step down, there have been numerous, you know, product lines, each having a different requirements, specifications, and all our order based also. You know, it's not a standard the kind of a margin that you typically see in some of, you know, the FMCG companies, but it's all tailor-made the premise parts. The other question on house wires, you know, we were FY22, if I'm not wrong, we're about 120 odd crores part of the cable thing, but that's something we are consciously attempting to increase the share, and a lot of initiatives being taken in the company. It's a separate team who manages this kind of a business. We hired a new, very senior level CEO who is going to look at the distribution of this particular business.
We have a very different distribution.
Yeah,
so what you're doing right now.
Yeah, it's a little different. It's more of a retail thing. So that would be the business. We have a new brand ambassador. So, channels have been, you know, forming a lot of channels to kind of distribute this product. So we are spreading instead of only Kerala and Gujarat, that we have a lot of other states. So this is going to be our focus.
Yes.
You
are not going to like 40 categories also, or competitors are having some general products. So you are not going to.
We are focusing on EBIN for this segment. Wherever we are expanding, it has to be. Well, it's a very unique and differentiated thing which no one else has in the market, and that's what will give us leverage to, you know,
how much orders we use
house. So we use e-beam for
e-beam technology.
We also use for the B2B business for solar customer business, but also this house buying.
So then we would be competing directly with Polycab Havells.
Yeah.
In the same segment.
Yes, on the south end with a possibly much better differentiated product.
So what is the price differential between EBM and conventional?
So price would be depending on your competitive forces, etc. But we is pricing it's a bit higher than
just 5-10%, 15%. 5%.
What is your plan for next 3 years, 5 years for in this particular view?
This will we expect, because what happens is this, since they're getting into new states and new regions, you know, you get that, you know, cost benefit because of that. As I said, we are already in Kerala and Gujarat. We could expand to many other southern states in Maharashtra and states over there. So closely, you know, we aspire to get into 500 crores by FY26. That's our aspiration. So today we are about 120 crores, and we will see that kind of happening over a period of next 3-4 years. And of course, initially we need investments in terms of your advertisement, your brand building, your channel deployment, and those kind of things. So that or expect that those kind of front investment would be needed.
So, what kind of annual expenditure do you have on brand building?
We don't expect to be material if you look at the entire, you know, bar as a whole, but yeah, for that.
Cables,
this is the only main area.
But
yeah.
The quantum, how much would it
be? So we have various modes of advertising which we are currently evaluating. And, you know, once we kind of find this, then it needs to give a match for it.
What's the vision for the cable division? I mean, the management was very bullish in the corporate, but for the next 4-5 years, where do we see cable division in terms of revenue?
So if you look at cable division, we are also becoming bullish because also we see the market, the addressable market is being so big, and you know, the lot of external developments happening. You know, look at the focus on renewable energy there. There is this, you know, China plus one policy is coming there. To look at some of our overseas countries that we export our products, a lot of infrastructure spending has been happening, which is about giving us the confidence of becoming bullish. So clearly, we, as we already talked about in the earnings call, we expect about 25-30% growth in the numbers when it comes to the cable.
What kind of ROI would you expect in the cables business?
So ROE for the company as a whole, we want to get into the 20% thing. I don't know when it will happen, depending on the funds that gets utilized. Again, it's a function of your profitability as well as your equity and the number there. Today we are about 16-odd percentage. But we aspiration is to get into that particular number. In terms of cable business, we can see a lot of investments is also happening in the initial period because the building capacity is here. And therefore, with the ROE may be less as compared to, let's say, the other.
So on a stable basis, you know, 3 years down the line, when you're budgeting for the cable business, so what kind of ROE are you looking at internally when you're doing the
calculation? 2-5 years, we don't have that kind of, we don't look at that long as a visibility there. Because currently, we are just focusing on getting the products right and being able to address the opportunities that is coming because of the, you know, external environment.
What I'm trying to understand is today you're 16%, right, at a company level. When you're doing incremental capital allocation for a new line of business, that should at least bring you that kind of an ROI or substantially higher for you to be taking that kind of a call, right?
Yeah.
Just trying to gauge that number. You know, what do you have in your mind?
So if you see, we have a preparation to get to the 20% ROI.
How much should we?
Company level, so that could take as a ballpark minimum kind of ROE.
Did you expect to get to there what, next 3 years time?
So as I said, you know, that it's actually a function of two things, you know, profitability and also the amount of profit that you retain in the business. So we don't have the number by when we'll get into that. If you see in the last 3 to 4 years, ROE has been increasing. 11%, 16%. But now I can tell you by when we'll actually get into that, although our efforts and aspirations to get into that particular.
Our exports and cables are mainly power, right? Or even OS?
No, OFC is largely in India. We have power as well as we have solar.
Power and solar. And we are seeing a great market in US.
We are seeing because, so as I said, multiple reasons. One is the spends there itself is increasing. The infrastructure level activity is much increased. They want to relay their old lines there. They want to have an alternate vendor in addition to China. The focus is more on renewable things. These are the external macros which is actually influencing this geography.
So globally, who would be our competitor on this?
Competitors would be
is it Nexans?
Any plans on expansion on the oil business?
Oil, as I said, we have sufficient capacity as such. Our key thing would be to kind of grow volumes over there. And in CapEx point of view, you don't expect a significant
development. Any new products that you're looking to get into on the oil side or otherwise?
We have that based premium, which is under trials for utility companies. That's going to be our
segments like drilling fluids or rubber oils or textile oils. Do we plan to enter those segments?
Nothing is there in public comments, so I can't share anything which is not there in public.
In terms of working capital, how does cable division compare to the other two? And since that's the demand driver, how do we look at working capital days going ahead?
Working capital for the company as well would be in the range of 40 to 45 days, and cable would be low. Followed by this oil and then conductors. So we expect it to be in that range itself. We don't expect a bigger number of days to drastically change. 40, 45 days for the company.
Recently, I saw the JV with CleanMax Solar. So, what kind of savings do we expect from
that? So these savings will actually materialize over a period of time. This is largely for captive consumption. Won't be so material from an afar. But yeah,
so do we have another capital allocation plans? What other capex or capital? How do we plan to do our capital allocation?
Capital allocation will depend on where our requirement would be there. As we see, this year the large is going to be the cable business, which is going to drive because we have a good capacity already in oil. Conductors, we have a good amount of capacity, except for some debottlenecking that keeps on happening within the conductor division. People, we see that now a good potential, and some other products may need more capacity. As we already talked in the earnings call, about 2/3 of our capex for FY23 would be on the cable business. That's there.
Oil.
Cables and our renewables. Are we looking at export as an opportunity as well? Yeah, sure. Even the export is the key thing that driving the kind of business up. So till years ago, the export percentage also is clearly we see that business going up. Export.
What would be exports right from cable?
Around
25 to 30%.
Which used to be around
12%. As this will move going forward, this will move even higher than 25 to 30. So the export growth would be higher than the domestic growth is what?
Yeah. Looking at the infrastructure spending at international market.
And do we work on order booking in this business, or is it that it's a short cycle product and you don't have any order book per se?
We don't monitor from an order perspective because unlike the contractor business, now it's called
a long cycle. But yeah, it's a short cycle. Like
more of a short cycle.
3-4 months.
In the oil segment, you said that the differentiator would be the quality. So how is the quality determined? Like, is it the base oil that separates us, like in terms of quality or the technology? Because in the end, it's like a commodity product, right? So what differentiates the quality? Is it the quality of the base oil that we sold?
The finished product. Finally, that you need the transformer oil to be good quality. You don't want transformer oil in a transformer, which is of inferior quality, and therefore you see, you know, outrages and blockages and those things happening. But the transformer can flush. The oil is not properly, the oil has not proper quality there. The transformer will flush, and then you have outages.
So what differentiates us in terms of the quality?
Superior quality. It's what, you know, so from, at least from, if you look at the organized to the unorganized period, you see the quality kind of.
Is it the base oil that we source from a particular country?
The finished product. If you look at the organized player, you may not think that difference over there. But if you look at organized and unorganized, clearly you will see a difference.
Where do we source our base oils?
We source from South Korea. No. No. Oil, if you look at it, it's very simple to say oil, but you know, this kind of base oil is very different than the kind of food. Food has to be refined to get, you know, that's the quality.
But conductor business, EBITDA per metric ton has gone up substantially from almost 10,000 or 11,000 FY 20 to now almost 22,000. So, how much that is led by the pricing of the raw material and how much is due to the product mix change that we are focusing more on the value added conductor side?
So, as we have been saying also in our earnings call, you know, all my raw materials are kind of hedged. Conductor business, we hedge all our raw materials. Right? So, raw material pricing typically doesn't make that big difference. What makes difference is your, you know, application product that you make for that customer. One, and also the shift in your premium product versus your.
Yeah.
At your conventional products, you'll have X margin, and you look at the mix changes from HTLS, OPGW, copper based in the margin. And again, it's difficult to kind of push for a number over there because it's not like now you have one premium product. Depends on your requirements of a customer, the content of aluminium, copper, etc. And you know that actually is similar to the machine.
What is the sustainable EBITDA margin in the business?
It's always, you know, better to see the trailing thing because we also can say that unless we get, you know, consistent margins on a 12-month basis, that will be a good base for your future. Because, you know, this kind of business, it's not, you need to look at the picture from a 12-month perspective. Because sometimes you may get good orders executed during 3 months and your margins may be high or low. But if you see a consistent margin for 12 months a year, that will be a good indicator. So, if at last year, by 22, our margins for 12 months, this would have been close to 17,000 per metric. And therefore, we have kind of revised our guidance in the earnings call from 12,500 to also 17,000. Because we also want to believe that, you know, once we kind of achieve that level of performance, then only we are also full of
it. But, sir, in terms of EBITDA margins, I would say, not EBITDA per metric.
Margin
that has
been fairly around. If you look at your value, on the aluminium price going up, your denominator will also, you know, the metric. So if you achieve X amount of margin on a low base, the percentage will be that X amount of margin on a high base, the percentage is.
That's a very strange. You know, when I saw EBITDA per metric have risen by 12,500 to 17,000.
That percentage will depend on the your denominator change. If you look at aluminum, it has changed by hourly basis. If you look at Q1 FY23 versus Q1 FY22, aluminum prices would have gone up by 20%. So, you know, you need to factor that because the gain or loss on aluminum actually is passed on to the customer, not a gain for me. In the price of aluminium, it's included in my costing, and finally my customers take that. Similarly, if there's a favorable thing, my customers are not going to allow me to retain that, but they also know the price of aluminium. It's available everywhere. And as I said, we kind of hedge our aluminium. So we also don't incur any gain loss on aluminium. Finally gets to my customer. So what happens is that your EBITDA, which is constant, my denominator, which is sales, will keep on changing. Therefore, the percentage will be different.
Do you see this
Same to like, you know, cable business, the opportunities overseas on infrastructure going up, we see this kind of volumes also. It being a positive waiting in the conductor. May not be as close to but now conductor we are present.
We have mentioned on the earnings call that EBITDA is a better measure of measuring. So how do we get those numbers?
We'll be publishing that by Q2. Also, what then the reason behind that, and it was discussed at length during this earnings call, is that one of the reasons EBITDA is also going up is because the interest is going up. No, therefore, we feel that we actually interest policy is like a cost of raw material. We actually, you price raw material and labor, we actually price interest also. So the EBITDA will go and interest will also go. And therefore, you know, it actually came from one of so then we are also internally thinking how to kind of appropriately represent our number. Therefore, that EBITDA could better explain.
So what is the sustainable EBITDA that we see?
So we talk about during Q2.
In the conductor business, we have an order book of 3,600-3,700 crore. Against this, we will have the raw material hedge, and that is why we are confident to be a bit up at under. And that is why we are comfortable to 17,000. That's correct.
Yes. That also will happen depending on the execution time that you know it will go because other book execution will happen over a period of time.
Over 1 year.
Yeah, close to 1 year. Months to 12 months, depending on the kind of product which is.
But why will it depend on execution? Because we anyway hedged raw
material. Yes, but
and you already defined what price you're going to sell it at.
Yeah, but that order book also depends on when the customer needs it. So sales in our financial books will happen once he recognizes. So you get an order today. The customer may need the product 3 months later or 4 months later. Accordingly, your manufacturing will start and your sales. For E&L, it will impact as and when we kind of execute the product.
Okay.
The book is one thing, but the order book reflecting in your sales.
I'm just trying to say that the margins of this order book is fairly protected, is what I'm trying to
understand. Yeah, it is a raw material, aluminium and copper, the kind of hedging. But it's also what happens that you know, you may get new orders during the month, which may you may be executing that during the month and not. So the order, it's not necessary that you sequence your order book in that particular months over there. Depending on the requirement of a customer, there's new order coming up, which he wants to execute in this month or next month, we take that niche.
We focused on exports in our case, in like all three divisions. How are the payment terms from customers? Are they longer than the India customers, or how does it
work? It would be longer, transit time. And in some cases in the US, the credit terms are much lower. They have only 30 days. But what happens, the transit time is. So when you look at transit time plus this, overall it will be slightly higher than
higher.
Again, for different product categories, the credit terms could be different. Like in case of some EPC work, you'll have a higher number of weeks. Direct product supply could be different. So there's no one magical answer to that.
And then in the oil, how we should see the EBITDA per kiloliter? What is the sustainable range in that?
We talked about this in earnings call. We'll continue the same.
Which has gone up to almost 9,700.
Yeah, but that, in first quarter also, if you see the earnings call clearly, we talked about this was a very high profitable India for the oil business, high selling price and coupled with the weighted average cost in the system, which has been gradually. And therefore, when you see the cost going up, you may see some pressure on the margins.
Sustainable number you said is about 5 to 6 thousand.
Thank you. Well, it is exposed to a better market as compared to domestic.
Not generally to say so, because you know, depends on your specification of the product. Not generalized,
but if when we look at exports business and domestic, the market would be similar.
It will be different for different, like you look at conductors
and cables. Cables.
Yeah, so cables, I guess it should be slightly higher than.
At present, domestic is very competitive.
The conductors clearly you see that, you know, export margin is better than domestic. I guess cable also is very high.
And this hunting cable wires, I think, that also will have better margins versus B2.
Yep. So in initial period, you have upfront investment.
Yeah, right.
Do not right to say what.
Going for. So once we reach, let's say, 400-500 crores, blended margins would reflect that upward trajectory because of the housing.
Okay. Cables and conductors, do we see a greater opportunity from Europe or
US? Actually, both, you know, because US clearly we are seeing the opportunity. Europe in times to come will be there because they are also clearly focused on renewables. And you have the renewable focus coming in, you have a of cable products getting into it, and you know, you need a specialized type of cables for windmills, solar, and you also may need some conductors to, you know, take the electricity from that goes to another. Europe in future definitely we see, US we are already seeing.
And this US demand is from the wind side or solar side?
Solar and power. And also wind also, yes.
Well, US market or the solar installation last year was very strong. And they are like going towards solar versus wind. If you look at the numbers,
it is a very big market. No, no, no. Look at our size and US, and big, huge.
And we have your competitors in US for cable business.
Okay.
Prysmian.
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 So we hedge aluminum copper, but what about oil?
Oil cannot be hedged.
So how do you manage then this volatility?
We kind of keep inventory as tighter as possible. And therefore, oil always, if you look at this kind of peak and decrease, it is not, it's not the first time that happening. It happened in the past also for us. Therefore, look at over a longer period of time to get a sustainable gain. If you can't look at 9,000 per year, then kind of sustainable margin there. And you know, what we only hedge is the foreign exchange part of it, which is your dollar movements. But we can't, but then we kind of keep inventories to ensure that now we are able to quickly pass on the price changes to other people.
So where do we buy this aluminum and copper bomb for sourcing of this?
For domestic as well as imported.
How much would be domestic? Because in domestic, we don't have to waste
it. Yes, the prices are always dependent on the price.
Okay. But what would be the proportion of sourcing?
The ratio of sales, 45% depending on the domestic
budget for this.
Percent shock absorbing capacity, which are cables,
increase
capacity for shock absorbing. It is because of e-beam.
Yeah, only because of e-beam.
So, I was just reading an interview or some an article where Polycap promoter told that e-beam is a very good product, but the market in India is not developed right now. And he mentioned that they are not pouring into this because of this. So, though, is the market actually ready? Though we have developed the product for tomorrow, but is the market actually ready?
Everybody is ready.
Not a lot of education is actually required. That also we do.
I think Phenolex is also coming up with e-beam facility. Going forward, do you see any competitive intensity rising because they are also moving?
they come up, definitely there will be competition, but today it is, you know, already we have been meeting for last several years and now we are the only player today. Because if tomorrow if any competitor comes up, there will be increasing competition. Till now there have not been any established player in having even at this
game. Wait, just like number this game.
In power B2B business, how do you see domestic demand?
Cables. So power cable domestic is what is, you know, it's more of a commodity and, you know, most competitive business there. And, you know, we also look at areas where we can maximize our margins, the available capacity there. So this is an area which is the most competitive in nature and margins are affected there. So that's why we also kind of, you know, put more into X.
And money wise also, our discounts are there. Discounts are the customer, finally.
Discount, yeah.
3% that you dropped would be on discount.
Yeah, yeah. You sell through dealers also. Yes.
What would be the difference between the power cables and the renewable cable? The product, like.
Completely different. Renewables are largely a solar, wind, and those kind of products, you know, power is transmitting electricity. But the picture itself is different. The solar products are something like if you look at some of the wind farms and wind product, it gets into the windmill. And you have different types of cable that is inside the windmill, and, you know,
that should be flexible.
Yeah, it takes you to the from windmill to the ground. You know, there are different technical features of the products.
Margin would be better.
Yes, different and better.
Sir, what are the reasons behind the improvement in the gestation period in the defense segment? You mentioned that in the phone call that in the defense opportunity, the gestation period for the orders are improved.
You talk about your conductor business gestation would have
improved. Only in the defense.
Should have conducted business gestation period.
So, wow. What are the reasons behind it?
Product mix, basically. And product mix and applications of the products.
Is fiber availability a challenge in optic fiber cables?
Optic fiber cable for is a very small number. The scale is no challenge.
With this, 5G capex and 5G now capex tools or commercial things. So, do we see any increased opportunity over there? Because I remember 3-4 years back, telecom used to be a big segment for us.
It will be. So, you know, if all this kind of products will have this look of cables over there, the years will actually see the intensity of, you know, this data going up. And what actually carries the data is all this fiber and the cables. As you see more and more, this thing being higher capacity cables which are needed, you will actually see impact on this kind of things.
And that would be optic fiber.
Fiber, and also if you look at, in some cases, you are actually having some business have a power and optic fiber also. It's called a hybrid cables. So each application could be different. But yeah, that's things like 5G and things coming up, you'll see here in the comments for the industry as well.
So what is the market share in the value-added copper conductor? If you are going in like HPC or high efficiency conductor or CPC conductor, what is the market share and the market opportunity size?
So lastly, we are there and not only Sterlite Power are there, established players on the premium, especially HTLS and.
Does Sterlite have a bigger capacity?
So our capacity is fungible to even manufacture the CTC and high efficiency.
Yeah, the CTC is different. Here is a different PGW. All three are kind of more different. The CTC actually gets into a transformer. HTLS is actually reconductoring of the lines. I think there's some key which I explained. The fitness
What is the reason for the fall in the volumes in the conductor business? They are focusing on the premium side. So is it that conventional business they are losing up, and that is why the overall premium is being?
What has happened is that the product mix has changed in terms of the metric ton to kilometers conversion. So look at the machines runs on kilometers, and then you have output as metric ton. So your overall product mix has changed. And few years before, the product was different. Now with all these premium products coming in, the volume is much less volume needed, and high capacity, high transmission efficiency. Therefore, you don't need that same volume to transmit that electricity. Capacity, carrying capacity is much higher. There is absolute volume much less. Therefore, you're actually seeing a reduction in volume, but improving the profitability. With your half of getting into your premium products, you don't need the same amount of volume that you should sell earlier to get into that premium.
In oil segment, only the white oil has a substitute is available.
Substitute means?
You mentioned that as the base oil prices increases, people start taking using the substitute for the white oils.
The earnings per year.
Yeah.
What essentially is comparable with vegetable oil. It's a way to use vegetable oil and white oil. Together. So currently, I think the earnings call what was mentioned is that the white oil price was less than vegetable oil. And people will use vegetable oil as a substitute to use.
Only for the white oil?
Yes.
The quality doesn't matter in this switch from white oil to the
vegetable. That is up to them actually, where the application is used next. They use a cheaper oil to save a cost on that.
So if it was the same price, which would be?
Then the basic or the base oil should be.
They may be indifferent. I don't know. I don't have that answer to that specific kind of thing. But yeah, people use that comparison. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.